Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we have to spend together. Thank you for each and every person that's here, whether sick or well. Lord, I just want to pray for each and every person in this call, and I want to pray for their families as well, that you would bless them with safety and that you would take care of them. Lord, we look forward to this discussion together tonight and look forward to seeing what you're going to show us. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I do have a question to start this off, and it's not an excuse to eat my Sour Patch Kid, I promise. The question is, what does the Sabbath mean to you? And you can drop that in chat. I can wait. That's no big deal. But what does the Sabbath mean to you? And if there is someone who does want to share, you're welcome to as well. You can just, I'm going to trust everyone to unmute themselves. So if you want to talk, you're welcome to unmute yourself and share. What does the Sabbath mean to you?
For me, it's my peace. It's my break. It's my refresher. It gets better, honestly, as I get older. I always love the Sabbath, but sometimes it can feel more like an obligation a little bit when you're younger of all the things you can't do. But the older I get, the more I'm like, man, it's so awesome that God commands that I take a break, that God commands that I detach from everything and just spend time with him and kind of get my mind off of all the things that are hectic. So for me, it gets better and better as I get older and older, but it's just my time to unplug, and it's cool knowing that God commands it. You don't even have to feel bad about it. You have to be like, you know, God told me to do this. So it's awesome. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Catherine, for sharing that. Reggie, you unmuted at one point, so go ahead.
Yeah. I would say, can you hear me?
Yeah.
But I would say that the Sabbath for me is a chance to celebrate. It's always like a little bit of Christmas every Sabbath, because I get to see all my friends at church, and I get to hear a good word, get to, you know, wear my best clothes. It's always been like, you know, I'm just celebrating a holiday. And on top of that, it's always it restores me a lot. Like whatever I've been through in the week, I kind of just, you know, leave that on Friday, and then when the Sabbath comes, it's like a whole experience, and I'm just looking forward to one day being able to do that, you know, in heaven, more so than we do it here. Because one thing about being a Sabbath keeper here is that, you know, this is from childhood, but when the sun set, it's just like you still get that thing of, I could do my secular things now, and I try not to think about that. I just let the sunset come.
Awesome. So thank you for sharing to the both of you. Sunny, go ahead, and then I'll read some of the comments in chat.
For me, it represents conflict internally and externally. I have very mixed emotions about it. On the one hand, I do think that it's a very good thing to have a pause in my routine every single week. I think that it probably in the long run contributes to my productivity. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't get bitter about it at times, because I have for a fact professionally and academically suffered loss and exclusion from things that I was qualified to do simply because of the Sabbath. And I'd be lying if I didn't admit that in those moments when that happened, it made me a little bitter.
Absolutely. Wow. I saw a lot of heads nodding along with you as you were sharing that. And a lot of times when something like this has a negative impact, and that negative impact keeps happening over time, like it can be very easy to build that kind of resentment. So I understand. And I admire the even the courage and bravery both of A, sharing that, but B, standing by the principle of the Sabbath and by making that sacrifice. So thank you for sharing, Sunny. So a couple of the comments, rest and spending time with God. That was Gabrielle Harris. Natalie, rest and time away from the routine and constant push of my work. A day to reset from Jason. April, time to forget everything that is in the world. Time to relax from the activities that take up my time. Devisha with It's My Refresher. So these are all amazing. And Larry, you actually hit on something here that's going to be a major part of what I share tonight, which is reminds me that I'm created and that I can spend time with the Creator. So we're going to be looking at Isaiah 58. And this verse, these two verses that I'm about to read may seem incredibly familiar to you. Isaiah 58 verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58 verses 13 and 14. I cannot tell you, as an Adventist born and raised, how many times I have heard these two verses read out loud, seen them as a memory verse, you name it. But here's what it says, starting in verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, verse 14, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father, Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So how many of you have heard this verse before, either shared by a teacher, pastor, small group, youth group, you name it? This is something that's used repeatedly whenever we have the conversation of what is appropriate and what is not appropriate on Sabbath. And usually the other verse that I hear in reference to this is where Jesus says Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, as a way to counter the idea that the Sabbath should be this boring, idle thing. And growing up, the Sabbath very much was. Both of my parents worked full time. There were three of us kids. They were exhausted by the time Saturday afternoon rolled around, so they would take a nap and there was nothing to do. The Sabbath didn't start meaning something to me until until I started having responsibilities that I wanted a break from. That's when the Sabbath started to mean something. And the busier I've gotten, the more amplified that meaning has become. And it's become something now over time that I definitely am more grateful for. But this verse I have seen used time and time again by very well-meaning and well-intentioned people. So it's not an indictment against anyone's character, but rather usually the intent that this is shared with is the intent to help everyone stay as intentionally connected to God and in God's favor and trying to live the best life that they can. Like, it's not that a lot of the people that use this text in a negative way are doing so to limit your activity or limit behaviors and traditions on the Sabbath specifically out of spite. For many, it is truly what they believe, and they are doing it with the most love and care in their hearts. So I'm not trying to indict anyone who has used it in a negative way. But usually this is a verse that we hear if we talk about playing a sport on Sabbath, going swimming on Sabbath, going jogging on Sabbath, basically any sort of those personal activities or hobbies. So what I want to do is actually back up to the beginning of this chapter, because the context will pretty much change everything. So we're going to look at verse 1, very, very beginning, and this is God talking. So in verse 1, he says, "Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out, and they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God." So right here in the middle of verse 2, it's very clear that Israel has done something wrong. They've ditched the commands of God. They are not doing what is right. And yet, then, let's keep reading in verse 2, "and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them." Verse 3, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed?" So the nation of Israel believes they are doing everything right, and yet God still isn't answering them. He's not acknowledging what they have done. And yet here, God is acknowledging what they've done, and he's telling them that the way that they have done, the way that they have lived is not right. Even though, for everything that they seem to know, they believe that they're doing it right. So let's continue reading the second half of verse 3. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Verse 4, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? So it's not just the fasting. It's not just that this day is set apart and they are doing something different. What God is saying is, it's more than that. It is the way that you do this. It is your attitude. It is the spirit in which you live this day, right? And you treat this day and you approach this day. Now, I don't actually know if everyone here is Adventist. I know we're Adventist young professionals and everything, but that doesn't mean that everyone here is Adventist. So we are talking about a seventh day or Saturday Sabbath, but if you happen to have Sabbath as a different day, whether you're a healthcare worker, pastor, whatever, or just not an Adventist, that's okay. If you have a Sabbath, then you have a Sabbath, and that's the framework that we're talking in. So hopefully that can be some sort of unifying language here. But here is the kicker for all of this, and it's in verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see them naked, to clothe them, and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will appear quickly. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." The context for all of Isaiah 58 is not that the people of Israel were doing whatever they wanted. It's that in doing whatever they wanted, they were exploiting people, they were taking advantage of people, they were fighting and arguing amongst each other during a day that they were supposed to be celebrating God and fasting and doing and having their mind on something else. And yet what they did was instead increase the amount of work that they put on other people, right? They are taking advantage actively of other people. There are only two real moments or situations, I would say, where I see God get angry in Scripture. The first is when God is disrespected, though he tends to be actually a little bit more patient when he is being disrespected. The second is when his creation or people are mistreated, right? This is what happened when Jesus pulls out a bullwhip in the temple and goes to town and starts flipping tables. It's because people are being taken advantage of in the temple. These are the two things that God seems to be incredibly passionate about when he allows his anger, when he shows his anger. And Jody, I never thought of the Sabbath as a fast, such a great way to describe it. Yeah, it quite literally is a fast from your normal life. But when we look at verse 13, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, yes, there is a certain level of like objective truth to this as far as like just a timeless truth of not just doing whatever you want. But within the context of Isaiah 58, which is the chapter that it's in, granted the Bible wasn't written originally in chapters, but in the section of the Bible that it's in, appropriate keeping of the Sabbath and appropriate fasting from what you please to do during the week seems to be tied to the good that you do for the community around you, for those in your life, from your own flesh and blood, for your church, and for the community at large. One of the things that I don't hear talked about enough in regards to the Sabbath is that we are called to actively do good on the Sabbath. And when I say good, I don't want you to think that you have to go out and go paint a school in an underprivileged part of town, or you have to go and clean someone's yard out, though those things are fine too. I'm not saying that this has to be some big grandiose act of community service that gets you brownie points in heaven. That's not what this is. What this is simply, in order to approach the Sabbath with the heart of God, the heart of God is a heart that actively seeks to serve that which it loves. And so what we are called to do with the Sabbath, especially in Isaiah 58, is to refrain from the things that we would normally do, arguing, fighting, bickering. I know all three of those things are the same thing. And taking advantage of people, or at least not even thinking to do good, to not treat them well. It's not just that you're not actively engaging in something bad, it's that you are actually actively engaging in something good. I love the second half of verse 9. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. This, for me, changes the way that I do my Sabbath. Because it's not just about me getting a rest. That there are some Sabbaths where that's the case and I just need a break. Sometimes the best community that you can do good for is the community in your own heart. But this changed everything for me because it stopped being a day where I had to only think about myself and God, and now became a day where I'm inviting others into that vertical relationship between me and God, and I'm actively seeking to either bring other people closer to God or remind them and show them the value that God has placed on their lives. So what I'd love to hear at this point, it seems like some of the feedback that we got over the first week that we did this was a little bit more time for discussion and interaction. And so I'd love to hear from you guys. Does this change anything for you regarding the Sabbath or your understanding of it? And if so, what are you feeling convicted on, or what do you think God is showing you here, if anything at all? And I know that that's like a complicated answer. So once again, you're welcome to unmute or use the hand raise function. I'm looking at both, but if you want to just unmute and talk, I'm totally cool with that as well. And if you want to type, that's also fine.
Could you repeat the question again?
Yeah, absolutely. So in what we've shared with Isaiah 58, how does that impact the way that you view the Sabbath? What are you feeling convicted on, or what do you think God is showing you here within your own personal life? If there's nothing, that's totally fine. In some cases, God moves for one person in this moment. And for others, it's kind of a normal day. That's totally fine if this hasn't like changed everything for you, but this was something that was very eye-opening for me. What is a way that this text or this understanding of the Sabbath has kind of impacted the way that you view it?
Well, I think that it's a heart issue, that it really asks where your heart is in regard to the Sabbath.
Absolutely. Anyone else want to share? All right. Very cool. So there is one more thing that I want to be really careful of here. Natalie, thank you for typing something. It feels less restrictive. Like it's not just a time to spend alone, but to build a community. Thank you for that. That's awesome. And the fine line that we're walking here is God seems to be saying, if you do this, then you will earn my answer to you, my reply to you, right? If you do these things, then your light will break forth. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. What I want to say to that before we go any further, as far as this line is concerned, what I don't want you to walk away with is thinking that you are somehow earning God's favor in any way, shape, or form. The fact of the matter is that all of us are, God is in each of our midsts. right? He is always with us. And even in this passage, God never left Israel. He was always there with them. The difference was they were actively choosing to walk away from God, which meant that there was no way for them to hear any answer that he would give them. There wasn't much he could do because they were actively rejecting any sort of presence that he could have. But that does not mean that he was not there. So what I don't want you to think is God will somehow leave my presence or leave me if I don't do good enough. That's not the case at all. If anything, the command or the call to do good on the Sabbath for your fellow man, for yourself, for your community, is done in response to the good that God has done in our own lives, right? It is a direct response to it. So I did want to just really make that clear. Catherine, go ahead. It looks like you want to share something.
Yes, I do. I think it's important too for us as Christians to find that balance as well. Sometimes even on the Sabbath, we get so busy with all of our meetings and with all of our things and with all of our everything that you actually leave the Sabbath burnt out. So there's a balance of serving and refreshing. So pouring out and also allowing the Lord to pour into you. Some people don't go to church at all because they just want to be poured into all day. And other people are going from meeting to meeting, from sunset to sunset, and you're crashed.
Yep.
Finding the balance of serving, yes, but you also need to disconnect from everybody at some point and actually spend time with God. So finding that balance is a tough thing, but it's a real thing. What I've definitely seen, especially faithful members, get burnt out. The Sabbath is not seen as rest, but as a time to just do different type of work. So finding that balance is really important.
Thank you for sharing that and for that clarification too. I very much appreciate it. And one of the things that I do want to say here is in response to that is it is completely okay if there's a Sabbath or two or three or five, hopefully not in a row, where you need the day, right? Where the good you need to do is recovering from whatever the week has been. That's fine. Right? It's okay to take the day. In the same way, there may be a day where you are called to serve. It's a different Sabbath for you. So it's okay for your Sabbath to look like one or the other completely, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it should always look that way. But Catherine, thank you so much for sharing that. I couldn't agree more with you. Alan, so has COVID-19 made us better Sabbath keepers? To some extent, yes, because a lot of pastors are doing more work than they've ever done. So definitely pastors are doing better at taking care of their communities in some respects. But even members are doing a lot more work to connect to each other. I know even with this and Adventist Young Professionals, Tim has done a great job in trying to help us all feel connected. And this is kind of where I want to land tonight. When I said, this doesn't always mean that you have to go out and paint a building or, you know, repair a school or whatever. I really meant that. Sometimes the good that you need to do is simply reaching out to someone and asking how they're doing, and like really asking how they're doing. It's doing a wellness check on the friends and the family in your life, or maybe reaching out to someone who you haven't talked to in a while, or you haven't traditionally talked to, and see how they're doing. Maybe it's someone on your Facebook feed or Twitter or Instagram feed or whatever, who doesn't seem to get a lot of interaction or seems like someone who doesn't really have a lot of friends. Maybe it's reaching out to them and seeing how they are, seeing how they're doing. The acts of kindness and the acts of doing good for your community do not have to be this physical, I have to be with you in person and we have to go do this thing. And the other thing that this means is sometimes the oppressed are people who are on equal ground with us. I think there is a misconception that says that true Christian service is the privileged people, us, going to serve the less privileged people. And that actually serves to create more division, not build bridges there and lessen division. And so this is a reminder for us to know that everyone in our community is someone who needs help, including ourselves. Jody responded to Alan's question. I don't think so. We now have permission to be less active in our church and community, the excuse to stay home. That is also true. In the same way that there are more people checking in, there are also people checking out. And so you and I, every single one of us here has the opportunity to reach out to someone, to reach out to some church members, and see how they're doing. If you were actively involved in a church, this is your opportunity, you know, before all of this, then this is your opportunity to stay actively involved and engaged. This is that time. I remember leaving for college and my church never reaching out to me again. It was like I was a ghost after that. But there was one member who sent me letters, who sent me an occasional Starbucks gift card. I don't even like Starbucks. I do more now, but I didn't then. It didn't matter. What mattered was someone thought of me. Someone from my home church thought of me and thought enough to care and reach out. And so I want to encourage you to do the same. If you have ever known what it's like to feel forgotten by those in your church community, then I would encourage you to not forget those in your own church community. So this basically is kind of the whole shebang for me. And tonight, I hope that this has been helpful or at least encouraging for you in some way, shape, or form, or maybe giving you some ideas. What I'd love to hear are just kind of any final thoughts from you guys, anything that you would like to share in response to this, good, bad, negative. You can disagree with me. That's fine. Like I said last week, you'll be wrong, but you can disagree with me. You won't be wrong. Don't worry. But you are welcome to share anything at this point. So floor is open.
Yeah, Ryan, I wanted to add something real quick, and even to build on what Jody said in the chat. I think that this, the pandemic right now, it's not only giving America a Sabbath, but it's kind of giving the world a Sabbath, because everything, for the most part, is shut down. All entertainment is shut down. Most businesses are shut down, except for essentials and hospital, obviously. But I think that it's kind of given the land a rest, so to speak. You see that in the Old Testament where, you know, the land, God would say, okay, you didn't give the land a Sabbath, I'm going to give you one. So I think this God's kind of given us a reset and a Sabbath right now. And even I've seen headlines that LA's, Los Angeles's air is starting to really improve. And I kind of find that kind of ironic and kind of timely that God's saying reset button. So that's kind of my two cents.
It's almost like this I could see within the Adventist framework and eschatology and like the study of the end times, I could definitely see the evidence from something like this where the world shut down for a while and the water in Venice started to clear up and you could see the LA skyline again. I could see that like being an argument for the world saying like, hey, we're going to take a day here. we're going to relax a little bit so that we can actually take care of it. I could see something like, I'm not trying to play conspiracy theorist here or anything. I'm just saying it's that bridge is definitely possible in my mind. Sunny, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this discussion and this study. I think it's been very enlightening, and it's definitely been thought-provoking. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but something that I still feel like maybe I need more exposure, but something that I still feel like I struggle with in a way that just hasn't been completely resolved is maybe it's because I'm an Adventist in a non-Adventist environment. Just how, even if I do observe the Sabbath, and I'm not perfect about it, I don't observe it, you know, completely and totally and absolutely, but I do essentially observe it. It just, for me, as much as I do see the wisdom behind it, it's hard for me to not feel like it's a source of loneliness and isolation. It just reinforces how different I am. And in the environment that I'm in, taking a Sabbath off is pretty significant for several reasons, which I'm not gonna get into. And it's just, I mean, I don't know if there are Adventists here. I'm sure not all of you are operating in solely Adventist circles who can relate to, you know, being an Adventist on a non-Adventist campus and being, and observing the Sabbath, or something similar to that.
Yeah. Sunny, first of all, thank you for your transparency there. And I, Tim, I'd love for you to speak to this, but what you're sharing is very much kind of why this exists to some level, as far as being able to connect us with each other so that those times where we are feeling alone and isolated and different, there is a community that we can plug into to know that I'm not actually alone. I wish this had existed when I was actually pastoring full time, because I was very isolated and alone and had gone through, I'm still coming out of the depression that resulted from that. So Yeah, it is very real. And Sunny, I'm happy to also talk with you and connect with you outside of this. If you want to talk some more, I'd be happy to kind of dive into this with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so just reach out to me, and I'll message you my email and everything. And if there's anyone else, I would encourage you, you don't only have to chat to everyone, you can actually private message each other as well. So if you don't want to put yourself out there, you are welcome to message privately. Catherine, you'd like to share something?
Yes. Her name is Sunny, right? Sunny?
Yes.
Hi, Sunny. No, I personally have never been in a Christian. I think I was in a Christian institution for like preschool or something like that. But since then, I've always been in a secular environment. So I definitely understand. For me, it was really hunting them out. I don't know if they're in your context, but like when I went to UCF, I literally, before I even left, I was on the prowl, like asking anybody, do you know where are they? Where can I find them? That's when I found, at the time it was called Campus Advent. Now it's called Adventist Campus Fellowship. But finding that club on campus like completely changed my life. They were my family. I didn't have a car when I went to UCF. So for 3 years, I didn't have a car. I didn't know one person in Orlando. They were the people who brought me to the grocery store, to the this, to that, like to everything. They were the only family I had when I moved at 18. But I literally, it was like a private investigation. I knew I needed it for my own mental health. And I was like, where are they? And I went to one church and there was not one young adult. And I was like, where are the young adults? And I kept hunting until I found a community. But I just pursued it deeply. But I definitely, the reason I pursued it is because I can understand what you're feeling. And I tried my best to run away from it because it is hard to be on a secular campus. And everyone has a community doing things that you don't co-sign. So I really had to do it, but I would say, I don't know if there's an Adventist Campus Fellowship, but if there is, that was the best thing for me at UCF. So I don't know.
I can touch base with you privately as well, but the short answer is there isn't, but I'll elaborate more on that.
Awesome. All right, Reggie, go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to speak on the professional side, to Sunny, working in the secular environment always presents a chance to be singled out as an Adventist. Having to talk to your employer about not working on Friday nights, or your coworkers making fun of you or whatever for not eating pork or whatever, and just trying to figure out what you are, what makes you so different. But you know, working in the professional environment as a Adventist has been sometimes not easy. But many times, God has shown me people who have helped me through that time of integration. When I first start a new job or I don't know anyone, I met one of my employers was raised Adventist, and that was a shock to me. But he's like, man, you dress so well when you come to work. Like, what church you guys from? And he's like, oh, I'm like, oh, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. And then he's like, oh, what? I was raised Adventist. And he's become a good friend of mine. And it just, you know, God will always find a way to find you when you seem wrong.
Thank you for that, Reggie. Actually, Catherine, when you mentioned Orlando, I remembered something, because I'm from Orlando. There was a few years ago, I was visiting home, and I was walking through the Altamont Mall, for anyone who's familiar with the Altamont Springs area just north of Orlando. And I was wearing a shirt from Humans of Adventism. My Advent, it just says Adventist Human on the front. And two times in the 1.5 hours that I was at the mall, the first time I was approached because of that shirt. The first time was it was a single mother who had just moved to the city. And she was looking for a church that she could take her, and she was carrying a baby. She walked up to me in an H&M, having seen me, and she was just like, where can I go to church? Like, are you Adventist? I'm assuming you're wearing this shirt. There was very much a connection, because, or there was an easy way and an icebreaker for her to, to connect with me. And then there was another man who talked with me and ended up finding out that he, much older than me, but went to the same high school that I did years ago. And we connected that way. It was just a good conversation. There was nothing more that came of that specifically. But I would say things like the, I just got my Adventist Young Professional or professional shirt today in the mail. So I'm excited to wear that. It's just being washed. But yeah, if you can wear some stuff that like the Adventist Human shirt, something very simple, but a some sort of identifier, kind of like the Jesus fish was for early Christians, that might be something that helps others who were in that desperate search situation find you as well, without scaring away everyone that may see you as different necessarily. Those can act as giant neon signs saying connection and community to people who are searching. Well, I do want to end our time together. It is 8:41. And by the way, on Wednesday nights, feel free to use the chat to just chat. I don't have to read everything. So I know that there's been a conversation going on. And so feel free to use it that way. I have zero issue with that. Feel free to, this is a time for you guys to interact and connect with one another. Alan Martin asked way earlier, some other podcasts and stuff that I do. If you want to know, I will leave it in the chat, but I'm not going to like self-advertise and promote during this time. I'll just leave it in the chat after this, for anyone who does want to connect that way. But, thank you guys so much for being here. If you have any prayer requests, go ahead and leave them in the chat now. And then we'll get started with we'll start with prayer or end with prayer. Words are hard sometimes. I'm sorry. Ooh, Jody brought home cats. Let's go. I'm allergic to cats, so please take care of all the cats because I can't. Community in these trying times and, ooh, a job that is ongoing. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. And just so you know, I do copy all of these into a Word document and I'll be praying over them. So if I see someone come back next week that I can reach out to and ask how you're doing, I definitely will. So yeah, let's go ahead and pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Sabbath. Thank you for the opportunities that you give us to break from our normal routine and give us space to do good, whether that's doing good in our personal lives or for the community around us. And Lord, I pray for balance for everyone here, that you would show them the way in which they can do good without erring too much on the side of busyness, Lord, but still maintaining a restful and worshipful Sabbath. And Lord, I pray for those who have had a negative view of the Sabbath for a long time. I pray that you would set them free of that and show them the benefits that the Sabbath can bring to them. And Lord, for those that are isolated here, that are feeling lonely and needing some connection, Lord, I pray that this would be an outlet for them. I pray that they would find that connection, that you would bring people to them and bring them to people that they can call family where they are. And Lord, we also pray for those prayer requests, April's job, and for Jacob's community, unless he meant all of our communities, in which case that as well. And we pray for safety for all of the healthcare workers that are out. And when I say healthcare workers, I mean all hospital and doctor's staff, whether it's front desk, trash, cafeteria, you name it, Lord. I pray for all those that are working on the front lines. Lord, we thank you for this time we could spend together, for your love for us, which never fails and will never leave us. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.